Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, taking you through a Friday afternoon and into your Friday evening. Cleveland Indians baseball takes place a little bit later on tonight. We've got high school games this evening, but we get Indians baseball back on the air tomorrow afternoon. And tomorrow afternoon, they may have that Central Division already wrapped up, or they may be trying to clinch the American League Central Division tomorrow when they take the field at 3:10. We have Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us on the hotline right now. Rosie's appearances are brought to you by the fine folks at Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Rosie, as always, thank you so much for joining us. How was the road trip?
It was a good road trip. Multi-country, so, we covered some ground, but, not bad. Team got back, and I think looking forward to this last homestand of the season.
Rosie, as we take a look at this pitching staff, there's a lot to like and certainly a lot of highlights involving that pitching staff, especially in that series against Tampa Bay. Why, Carlos Carrasco pitched well but took the loss on Wednesday. Rosie, he has pitched very, very well since the All-Star break. For some reason or another, though, I feel like outside of the area, it seems as though that's kind of being overlooked a little bit. You get that same feeling?
Not really. I mean, well, at least like the teams that the Indians play don't overlook him. No question about that. I mean, they obviously see what we're seeing on a daily basis. And then, maybe he flies under the radar from a national standpoint because of the success of Corey Kluber and before the injury to Trevor Bauer. But, I mean, he won 18 games a year ago, and he's heading down that path again. So, I think most people consider him to be in the upper echelon of starting pitchers in the American League.
And he certainly will be instrumental when the Indians get into the postseason, and hard to believe, but we are just about 2 weeks away from the finish line. And, of course, the Indians kickstart their final homestand of the season tonight against the Detroit Tigers. You had talked about Trevor Bauer, and I know we talk about this every week, and it seems like the news continues to get a little bit better week by week. What's the latest on Trevor Bauer?
Well, he did throw Wednesday a regular bullpen, and by all accounts, everything went well. He might throw another one today. If not today, he'll throw another one tomorrow, as long as everything checked out yesterday. So I think on a positive, Andy, you look at it, I wouldn't be surprised if he were to pitch in a game sometime next week. I think if he throws well tomorrow in a bullpen, I would not be surprised if they try and get him into game action at the very latest before this homestand ends to at least get, I think they'd love to get him two starts before the postseason. Maybe they could squeak in three. That might be a little ambitious, but I think they'd love to see him get out there twice before the postseason.
What effect would they use him, Rosie? Would he be coming out of the bullpen or just short starts?
I don't know. I think maybe initially, especially if, they're going to wrap it up here in the next day or two. I could see them just starting him and making it a shorter start. Sure. So he can start a game clean and be in that mode of starting. And then it might be a little bit easier to adjust if they need to by having him go to the pen in the postseason. But I think they'd want to keep him in that starting mode in terms of preparation and just beginning a game. And then just keep those starts a little bit shorter based on it's the time that he's missed.
I would imagine it'd sort of be like a rehab type deal without the fact that AAA and AA and everything aren't going on right now. Is that kind of how they might go about it?
Yeah, because, there's really no place for him to pitch. I mean, Akron's going to be done here one way or another by the end of the weekend. So there's just no place for him to go. It probably wouldn't make sense for him to go out to Arizona to instructional league. And again, for the Indians, there's no, they're going to wrap up the division. They're too far back in terms of trying to gain home field or play for anything like that. So really, win-loss-wise, it's more important to see what Trevor Bauer can do over the last 2 weeks than worry about a win or a loss, when everything's decided.
We're talking Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Rosie, Shane Bieber was absolutely outstanding a couple of days ago against Tampa Bay, and a guy I think that one way or the other is going to work his way onto this postseason roster. What kind of a role do you think he plays on that postseason roster?
Well, probably a lot will be determined by the guy we just talked about. I think if Trevor Bauer is not in that rotation, Bieber will be. I would be shocked if he was not. So, you know, it sure sounds like Terry Francona wants to go with a four-man rotation. He's shown no signs of slowing, you know, in his first major league season. If anything else, he seems like he's getting stronger and better as the season has gone along. So, I think he's on the roster, and if they determine that Bauer can start, then I think Bieber's in the bullpen as a long man. So, there's too much success there, and too good an arm, and really, you know, some nice poise for a young pitcher, I think, to leave him off of the postseason roster. I'd be surprised if he was not a part of it.
Rosie, the two guys at the back of that rotation, and Adam Plutko and, of course, Shane Bieber, they certainly have exceeded expectations this year. No question about that. I was reading a stat the other day that the Indians have won 15 or 16 games when those two guys have started, which is quite a bit coming from the fifth spot in that rotation. And while the organization certainly has and has had high hopes for both of these guys, do you think their success has even surprised the Indians to some degree as well because they've come on and they've combined to do so extraordinarily well?
It might, especially when you consider, you know, neither one was in Major League spring training for very long. Plutko was there, but he was, you know, coming back from an injury and not rehabbing, but building up, may be the better term. So I don't know that they expected what they've gotten out of Plutko from that standpoint and how quickly he was able to come along from the hip surgery in the offseason. Bieber being an unknown quantity, maybe there is a little surprise there, although I will say one of the reasons he was not in Major League camp is the front office didn't want Terry Francona seeing him and insisting that he'd be on the team opening day because they thought that highly of him. They just figured, let's keep him over in minor league camp, then they can make sure that they leave him in the minor leagues for a little bit to make sure he got off to a good start and finished his development, so to speak. So I think that's fair to say it probably is somewhat of a surprise the way it has turned out. But certainly both have earned the wins that they've gotten and you know, the status of where they are now.
Rosie, I want to stick with the pitching for another second here as well, because I think the best news for the Indians from the start of this work week was the performances of Andrew Miller. Boy, he passed the eye test. He looked fantastic in the appearances that he made in the series against the Rays. I mean, I think the one thing you worry about, and sometimes that's something fans aren't necessarily privy to, is the way he feels after those appearances. But boy, if this week told us anything, Rosie, he looks great, and he should be ready to rock and roll as the Indians approach October.
Yeah, and he feels good too. I mean, he has said that even before he got on the mound in game situations. He just said there's something different this time around where he feels really, really good. If he had his way, I think he wanted to get out there before he actually hit down in Tampa. He was pushing to get on the mound in Toronto and be a part of it. So a really good sign. And you know, just for him to be able to go out and throw and not worry about mechanics, how his knee's feeling, how his shoulder's feeling, just going out and throwing, worrying about throwing strikes and quality strikes and, you know, how to get his pitches working the best way possible. That's exciting. And he showed that in the two appearances down in St. Pete. He was, I think, as good as we've seen in a long, long time, maybe this entire season.
Again, we're talking Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Rosie's appearance is brought to you by Erie Burger Company and the Avon Lake Town Center. Rosie, we'll transition, start talking about the bats right now. Just want to get your early thoughts on what you've seen so far from Josh Donaldson. Boy, I tell you what, early on, if he can continue to return to form here, that makes this lineup a heck of a lot deeper.
It does, and I mean, it's hard to know at this point. I mean, he's had, what, 5 at-bats? So, I mean, they've been good at bats for someone who doesn't have a hit yet. I mean, he's hit the ball hard and doesn't seem to be overmatched, I guess is the best way to put it. But it's just too early to tell. I mean, you got to give him some time and see how it goes from there. But I thought he played good third base the one night he played there. And the at-bats have been decent. You know, he's not overmatched. He's making contact, hitting, driving the ball. So it all looks good, but it'll probably take a little bit here before we really know if he's back to being the Josh Donaldson that the Indians are hoping they have.
Rosie, you mentioned that it's going to take a little bit of time. I think it's also going to take a little bit of time for the other guys that are directly affected by that acquisition. And certainly it affects Jose Ramirez, but he's going to play every day. This definitely affects the likes of Jason Kipnis. It also affects Greg Allen as well. In the interaction that you've had with those guys, how have they taken to this? I know it's been made a little more public the way that Kipnis has reacted, not so much Greg Allen. But in your interaction with these two guys, what's been your takeaway from your interaction now, knowing that these two guys are probably going to play, at least to some degree, a little bit less?
Well, I think for Kipnis, you know, it's obviously could impact him negatively in terms of how much he plays. And that's going to be, you know, how does he handle that? And I think he'll handle it fine. He just wants to win a World Series. You know, and Greg Allen, it's not that he's just happy to be here, because he has certainly earned his spot and played really good baseball, especially this last time since being called up. But he is the same way. I mean, he just wants to do whatever he can to help the ball club win. And if he's in there, great. If he's not, he'll try and figure out a way to be ready to go off the bench. So, you know, I think they'll both be fine with how they handle it. Maybe a little bit easier for Allen because he is a rookie. And you know, in terms of the expectation level, it's there for him. He certainly puts that on himself, but you know, he trusts what the coaching staff will do in terms of the best interest for the team, and I think that's where both guys are right now.
And we're looking at a situation where 3 weeks from today, the Indians will begin the postseason. The question is, who are they going to play? And barring something completely unforeseen, it's going to be one of those two teams in the West, the Astros or the A's. Rosie, how much of this decision that Terry Francona is going to have to make as far as who ends up on the postseason roster for that divisional series anyways, how much of who they play do you think will dictate who is on that roster? Do you think that's going to make any difference?
You know, that's interesting. Hadn't really thought about it from that perspective, because, I mean, more so, maybe that's not the right way to look at it. I just kind of assume it's going to be Houston, but maybe that's not the right thing to do. I don't think that they would make many changes based on that. And to be honest with you, I haven't really looked at the pitching situations in terms of left-handers and right-handers, if that might impact it at all. But I think it'll be, you know, your mainstays, your top starting pitchers, the bulk of your lineup and your key relievers are going to be the same. Maybe your 24th, 25th guy is different based on who you play. I'm not sure who that would be and how it would be impacted by the two teams at this point. But your basic roster will be the same.
You think the Indians will start taking a look at who they're playing in the playoffs and maybe start organizing lineups and things based on that, Rosie? Or is it day by day?
They're absolutely scouting Houston and Oakland at this point. And, you know, once they officially clinch, absolutely, it's full on. And right now it would be more geared toward Houston because they're the team that they would play with the knowledge that it could be Oakland if they go on a run here at the end. But absolutely, I mean, they've been doing that. They have scouts on any team they might play, including the National League teams in the World Series. They have scouts on them throughout the month of September. Obviously, for Houston, which is a likely first-round opponent, they're doing a little bit more right now. But you also have to look down the road at Boston and New York. And Oakland, too, just in case they end up being the opponent.
Very good stuff. Tribe and Tigers will have at it at just after 7 o'clock tonight. Of course, tomorrow they get after it at 3:10. Now they moved that start time back to 3:10. It was originally a 1:10 first pitch, and we'll have that game for you here on AM 930 WEOL tomorrow afternoon. Rosie, as always, we really do appreciate the time, and hopefully you and Hammy will have a divisional championship call either tonight or maybe even tomorrow. But, Rosie, however it works out, have fun with it, and we'll do this again soon.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All of Rosie's appearances brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Matt Douglas and I need to take a break. We'll come back shortly after this on AM 930 WEOL.